Easy. For sure. They've done something different with this system.
Good day.
Evening. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Latin.
Yeah. It was getting earlier. It was echoing. The phone was echoing. Yep.
Is it still echoing?
Nope, not no more. It's good.
Very
now.
Good.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Great. Hey, Latin, how are you?
I guess I'm doing all right. You know, facing a lot of like opposition from every direction, but what is that?
That is my echoing.
Yeah,
he doesn't want me to join from my phone.
Yes, oh man. Yes.
Uh-oh.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Fine.
Good. Awesome. Go ahead. You were just about to explain how you were doing.
Yep.
Oh yeah. I guess I'm doing all right, just facing a lot of opposition, you know, from every direction. I feel like I am entering into another season, and also a part of me is like, this may be my opportunity to show God that I'm going to keep faith with everything that's going around me, because it's getting pretty not good, but I'm just going to try my best to, you know, please God and keep moving forward. You know, it's very difficult, you know, with all the stuff that's going around, especially dealing with worldly people and still trying to learn how to deal with worldly people and understand that it's not them, it's the spirits that are around us, and it's the unseen world that is operating. Because if you do not follow God, there is only one other option. And I'm trying to get, you know, used to that and just really, you know, trust in God and, you know, understand that everything he does, like it says, he causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose for them. So, yeah, just trying to do that. And, you know, I'm really excited to get out here, you know, to be around the body of Christ and all the other stuff, because, you know, now I'm starting to understand the urgency of being around the body of Christ, you know, so I'm definitely happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably even more difficult for you because you don't have a church home that you go to.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, you don't get your battery recharged on a weekly basis. And so we, you know, I think that as a believer, you know, when you love the Lord, you pour out a lot of love to people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not someplace where the love is poured back in, you know, you're a vessel, and eventually the vessel gets empty.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at it like a cup of water, you know, you can only pour out so much and quench everybody else's thirst until you get thirsty.
Yeah.
Right. And so that is, I believe that's the reason that, you know, that's, you know, we were talking last week about principles and principalities. And I believe that that's the reason that he said, forsake ye not the fellowship one another with the saints, right? He's specifically saying there's a purpose in it. There's a principle behind doing it. Even Bible study, you know, it sort of kind of recharges, re-energizes, rejuvenates. But there's just a specific thing that happens in the sanctuary where anointing flows in a certain way. That just really prepares you for the week ahead and strengthens you and encourages you. So even though you don't get to come up to New Covenant Church of Christ, I do suggest that you go to somebody's church. And I don't care if they're Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Apostolic, Episcopalian. You just need to be someplace where the word of God is going out, because faith cometh by hearing. Yes. Hearing cometh by the word of God. And so if you're around people that are talking about God, you'll still get something. You may not agree with how they do it, but you will agree with who they do it for.
What if you don't get that day off?
What if you don't get that day off?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you begin to request it. You begin to. There is a law. There's a law of the land that says that they must give you worship time if you request it, because you know there's no Orthodox Jew or someone that's functioning under Judaism, I should say, because Jew and Judaism is different. But there's no Orthodox Judaistic worshiper that they ever have working from Friday 6 o'clock in the evening to Saturday 6 o'clock in the evening, because that's Sabbath. And they literally just refuse, and they're not going to let anybody, I don't care how much money is involved, force them to work. They just tell them, I'm Jewish, this is my religious beliefs, and this is how I function. And the people go, yeah, we want you. And so therefore, you know, that time is yours. That's under the law.
Is that like an actual state law?
It's actually federal law.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, let me look it up. Good evening, Sister Hawanda. God bless you.
Greetings, family. Good to be here. Yeah, bless you.
This is the one.
I'm here and I'm in the car though today, so I'm not the whole Bible study, and I do remember where we left off when you need me to let you know, but I am in the car on the way to the store at the moment. I'm here.
Thank you. I'm looking up laws surrounding being forced to work on church day.
Acknowledgement of one's religious beliefs or
legal clarity. Can you empower employer make you work on Sunday if you can? And it says, yeah, explore your religious observance impacts work schedules and understand your rights and employer obligations regarding Sunday work, right? Mm-hmm. Balancing religious practices with workplace obligations can be challenging for many employees. Mm-hmm. For those who attend church on Sundays, the question of whether an employer can require work during that time involves important legal and ethical considerations. The issue touches on workers' rights and employers' responsibilities navigating potential conflicts between professional duties and personal belief systems. And I believe, and this is employment law that I'm looking up, a group called employment law. Just look it up.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay, look it up.
The state of Wisconsin.
Yep. And I believe it's there.
Yeah,
so
going to the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm, state of Wisconsin. Yeah. Okay. So you were saying though that you were dealing with worldly people and worldly things and trying to understand how to navigate the world in the condition that it's in. Is that what you were saying, Lati?
Yeah, it's, you know, just because, like I said, just face opposition from like every single area, and you know, like dealing with worldly people and, you know, understanding that it's not them and that I'm dealing with spiritual warfare. But like I was saying too, just, you know, where I'm at now, I'm just trying to jump on the opportunity within myself on my walk to, like, you know, show the Lord, like, you know, hey, I'm going to try you. I'm going to, you know, give you my faith instead of crumbling. Cause I feel like I'm going to keep going through the season until I learn. So I'm trying to do something different. You know, mm-hmm. with my reactions and stuff like that, which is really, really hard, you know, because again, you know, coming out the world and you're so used to, you know, crumbling and crashing down and stuff like that when things get really hard. But it's just like, if I could just hold on, you know, just like when Peter, you know, was walking towards Jesus on the water, stuff like that, you know, and Jesus said, you know, why did you, you know, lose your faith? You know, it's just like right there. It's like, I feel like that's an opportunity to be like, I'm going to show my Father, you know, that I can graduate to the next level, which is, again, mm-hmm. still very difficult, but doable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we'll talk about that tonight. We'll go back to, it's just at 5:39, 5:40. We're going to begin with prayer. And we were in this, 2 Corinthians. We were in the 10th chapter, or the 11th chapter, I believe. Which one? 10th chapter.
10th chapter, verse 6, was where we left off at.
10:6. Thank you. And so, thank you for being my memory. Praise the Lord.
No problem.
Yeah, glory to God. And so, you know, but to that point, we should talk about those things. We've got a 5:39. I don't know how many people will join or how many won't. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that you're here. That matters.
Yeah.
And when you're in Bible study, it is really the time to, because it's life study. And Sister Hawanda remembers that. We said it one night. This is more than Bible study. This is life study, because, you know, you can be Bible study and just read words and kind of go, how do I accomplish what I just read? But if you look at life study, that's looking at it more from a perspective of how do I use what I read? Not how do I figure out how to be something, but how do I apply? Because there are really seriously principles in the Bible that are laws. They are governing laws because we're in a kingdom, right? And because you're in a kingdom, then you only function under the king. Does that make sense? The king is the authority. The people are all subjects of the king. And they may all have different perspectives and viewpoints and things like that. But ultimately, the king has the deciding voice. And when you know the principles of God, you're walking in that deciding voice. You're not really walking in. Sister Walker, God bless you.
Can I get a chance to open them?
Pardon me?
Oh, sorry, Dad.
Mm-hmm. And so you're really under a kingdom. Kingdom principles. For instance, let's have prayer first. Let's do that because it's 5:41. I'm going to ask Sister Wanda. I know you're doing your thing, so I'm going to go, Brother Lati.
Yes, sir.
Let's have you open up.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for waking us up all today.
Yes, God.
I thank you for coming into the service to help us broaden our horizons mentally, physically, and emotionally, Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, I pray that while we learn and you speak through Pastor Moreau and all of us, Heavenly Father, that you send down the Holy Spirit to accompany us as we learn, Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, I pray that you send down your angels to minister to us while we're all here too. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for KJ. I pray for T-Von. I pray for everyone that is not here or couldn't make it. Dear Lord, I pray that you guide us tonight and be the light and the beacon that we need. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Yeah, and I'm going to add on to that prayer. Father, we also ask you to touch our households, because if there's one thing that can upset the apple cart, if there's one thing that can distract us from walking on water like Peter, it is the people that surround us. That is where the bigger distractions come from. Teach us how to be leaders in our household. Mm-hmm. Teach us how to be merciful in our households. Teach us how to have grace for those in our households. But teach us how to be greater examples for those in our households so that they have a desire to be like us. Because we're trying to be like you. And so help us to be shining examples. Help us to be the city on the shining hill, or the shining city on a hill, that they look at and go, what must I do to be saved? We need your wisdom, knowledge, insight, and understanding in order to lead our families, in order to be advocates on our jobs, in order to be advocates in our communities. We need you. We need the presence of you. And we need you in a way that we understand those principles, how to apply them, how to use them, and how to get the results that you promised. Because every word in your Bible is a promise. You promised us. You promised us. You promised us. And you promised us. And we're just asking you to let the promises come to fruition so they're no longer promises, but they're manifestations of your goodness, your glory, and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to say, can I add on to?
Yes, please.
And Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Father God, I thank you for this Bible study. Father God, I ask you to look upon my child, India, as she's about to bring in a new child into this world. Father God, I ask you to just let her know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, Father God. Give her a heavenly download from heaven, Father God, and bless her from her wisdom. Mm-hmm. Father God, we need you right now. We pray for a safe and easy delivery, Father God. We ask you to touch the doctors and the nurses, Father God. Touch their hands, Father God, in their minds and their hearts. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Anyone else before we get started? No? Praise the Lord.
One more. I got one more, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
P.S. Father God, I ask you right now to look upon my father-in-law. Father God, I ask you to touch him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Father God, I ask you right now that you would strengthen him, Father God, and heal his body, Father God, and bless him with the energy that he needs, Father God, for his daily life. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for it. We call all of our prayers answered and done. In the matchless name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, somebody say that's done.
It's done.
It's done.
It's done. It's done.
Yeah, say it one more time.
It's done.
Done.
All right, that duck is ready to come out of the oven. Put it on the table. Let's eat it in faith. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read, before we go to 2 Corinthians, I want to read James, the first chapter. Because I think this is very important for us, especially when we talk about principles, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-A-L-S, the authority. Principles, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E-S, the laws, the rules, right? And principalities, the area or the city or the circumstance, the environment is a better word for it, that we have to walk in. Many environments are controlled by principalities. Many environments are controlled by principalities. Every environment, even though it's in the kingdom, doesn't mean you don't have thieves in the kingdom, you don't have liars in the kingdom, you don't have folks that'll take from you in the kingdom, folks that'll murder you in the kingdom, because kingdoms coexist with both the good and the bad. And I think that's why the Lord said, I made the sun to fall on the just as well as the unjust, rain to fall on the good as well as the evil, because he was saying, in my kingdom, you're going to have all of those things taking place. For us as believers, I think, we would go back and look at that and simply kind of to compartmentalize that thought. I think you would just kind of say, there's good and bad folks in God's kingdom, right? It just right? And even though people in the world are what they are, they're still in this kingdom. They're just up under the wrong employer. They're functioning under the wrong employer. And they don't get it. And they believe that having life is the same as having permission. And having the job does not give you permission to run the company. And so people don't understand that part, I don't think. And so James makes this statement. I want to read this, James first chapter. Listen what he says, because it's really deep. And if you notice and pay close attention to the first verse, you'll see this is not a standard letter. This is not like Paul writing to the church of Corinthians. It's not like Peter writing to a church over here. This is not writing to the church of Galatia. This is not writing to the church of Ephesus or Philippi. This is something completely different. Watch how he starts off. He says, greetings to the 12 tribes. This is a national press release. The James that wrote this book is the James, according to theologians, the people that have studied and worked all this stuff out for as much as they know. This is Jesus's brother, who, and in order to catch that, you'd have to go back and remember what happened when James, Mary, And Jesus' sisters came to him while he was ministering. And one of the disciples came to him and said, "Your mother, your brother, and your sister, they're asking for you." And his reply was, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Except for them that do the will of my Father," right? Mm. And so this same James that's unsaved at that point, that Jesus says, "I ain't got time for him," is now saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's years later. It's really probably about 40 years after Jesus has died. And James writes this, "Greetings to the 12 tribes." He doesn't write to Corinthians. He doesn't write to Philippi. He doesn't write to Ephesus. He doesn't write to Rome. He writes to the 12 tribes. It's national news. National. He's writing to all the people. And if you consider the fact that some of those people are still functioning under the old-fashioned Judaism, the thing that Jesus came against, and some of them are functioning inside of the purposeful new covenant, right? But he says, "Greetings to all of those 12 tribes." 10 of those tribes are no longer even considered Jews. They were called the Samaritans. The only two tribes that were considered functioning under Yahweh, God, and keeping the oracles of God was Judah and Jerusalem. Judah was a tribe, Jerusalem was a city. Right? Judah is a tribe coming from the 12 sons of Jacob, right? Judah is one of the 12, the fifth born son, I think, the fourth born son, right? And so he's saying, "I don't care if you're saved or unsaved, I'm writing to everybody about this." The whole 12, I don't care if you're with us or against us, I'm writing to the whole community of people that have some belief in God. So greetings to the 12 tribes, James, who is a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings to you. Then he goes on to say, "My brethren," and he jumps right out of the greeting into something so very deep that you kind of go, "What kind of letter is this?" Listen to him. "My brethren, first, count it all joy when you fall into your different temptations." He just did this wonderful greeting, talked about God, talked about Jesus Christ, and the next thing out of his mouth is, "Count it all joy when you go through different temptations." The word temptations is not the word that we think it is, like you just got tempted, you made a mistake, you're sinning. The word temptations covers three specific categories in the Greek. Three specific categories in the Greek. Good evening, Sister Donna. We are in James in the first chapter right now. So it covers three specific things. Here's what it covers: trials, tests, and tribulations. Three T's. What he called temptation. Every time you see the word temptation in the Bible, it doesn't mean some sin that you're being challenged by. It means the challenges of life on life's terms that you're being challenged by. And he's saying, count it all joy when you fall into different, that's what diverse means, different challenges, tests, trials, tests, and tribulations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Then he goes on in verse 4 to say, but let patience have her perfect work. He establishes patience as a feminine attribute. He calls it her, not it, not him. But he says, allow patience to have her perfect work, right? That you, through patience, may be perfect and entire and learn how to live your life without wanting anything. If any of you, then he switches gears. Are you reading this? Is everybody reading this?
Yes, sir.
Verse 5 now. Then he goes on to say, and if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Yeah.
They give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Then he says this, verse 6, and this is the part that I want us to really focus on. But, and we know but cancels everything in front of it, right? But canceled everything you said in the first place. You can say to somebody, you know, you really look nice today, but that hat is like, right? You just killed the whole compliment. You just destroyed everything you said that was of some importance to the person. Oh, but. He says, but. Everybody ready? But let him ask in faith with nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And I'm saying, and I want us to read that because a lot of times, even when we're praying, we're wavering. When we ask God for things, we're wavering. Sometimes when we are believing God to do something, we do it with wavering. What's the wavering part of that? Here it comes. I'm thinking if he wants to. Not that he has to.
Come on, you reading my mail. Come on now.
If he wants to, then he can do it. But a promise from God is a promise. Now I'll take you back to something that he said before. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent, meaning he should say he's sorry for the promises he made. And I think that a lot of times, and this is very important, especially for those of us that are in church and we don't necessarily see the power that we want to see in our lives. But yet we can look and sometimes see other people who seem to be walking in that power. And what we confuse that as is they're mature and I'm not. But I want you to know something, and I hope and pray you receive it. The Holy Ghost functions not out of maturity, but out of your belief. So when I call a thing out, I called the thing out. If I waver, and just because when I call it out, it doesn't move now, then what ends up happening is I slip from following the principles, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E-S, the laws of God, and I moved into a place of accepting the principality that something has preeminence over God. Let me try that again. I can slip into a principality, because principalities are environments, right? If somebody was in hell, for instance, they're just in a principality. Hell is a place, but the principality that makes it a principality is that who's in charge of it. Satan is in charge. So it's under his principality, under his rule, under his reign. And anytime we ask something without the faith to believe it's going to take place, then we have allowed a principality to come in and overrule a principle.
Wow.
Everybody get that?
Yes, sir.
Now let's go to 2 Corinthians and read. Praise the Lord. Sister Ruby, God bless you. Thank you for being here. So now let's go to 2 Corinthians. We were in the 10th chapter. Right? And I want us to kind of go through this part again. The topic or the title of the 10th chapter is Mighty Weapons of Warfare. Mighty Weapons of Warfare. If you thought about yourself not as a person, even though we are. But if you thought of yourself more as a weapon, you might begin to see the world around you differently. If I see myself as a person, then as a person that's inside of two principalities simultaneously, the kingdom and Satan's rule. How do I know I'm in two principalities simultaneously? Well, it's real easy, because Satan said to Jesus, if you'll bow down and worship me, all of the cities and all of the kingdoms or all of the governments that will come even after this, I will give you control over. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you worship. Because Jesus knew, I am the principle, the rule that overshadows the principality, your little kingdom. I am the rule. I am the ruler. Because let me tell you how silly it is for Satan to tell the Lord, I'll give you all of the world. And he's talking to the one that in the beginning, the world was created by him. Let me try. Everybody get that?
Yes, sir.
You're talking to the one that created the world saying, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you the world.
Yeah. He already made it.
Mm-hmm. Say that again, Duan.
Yeah, he already made the world.
Amen.
He already made the world.
Praise the Lord, right? Yeah. He made the world. So here's the beauty of that.
Yes.
He knew Satan was a liar. Right? Everybody got that? He knew Satan was a liar. So if he knows that Satan is a liar, why don't we? Because everything that he throws at you is a lie.
That part.
It's a lie. Now here's the amazing part about a lie. A lie can only have power when you attach the most holy, significant gift that God gave you, and that is faith in the lie. When I believe the lie now is real.
Right.
When I believe, see, because my faith is God's major weapon that he put inside of us in order for us to fight with the enemy. And so if somebody comes along and tells me, you just lazy, and I attach my faith to their words, I'm going to be lazy or angry, because I'm going to fight that, because that's, you know, I don't want to believe that about myself, so I'm not going to sit back and say, yeah, you're right. I'm going to fight. You just opened up a door for a big argument.
Mm-hmm.
But even when I argued about it, I attached faith to it. And don't realize I'm attaching faith. Because for me to argue with you about something means I'm defending myself against something that you spoke.
Hello?
The minute I defend it, I made it truth. I'm making truth out of it because I'm making it worthy of discourse. And let me bring that home. Many of us have had arguments with people or discussion with people that we've attached faith into the words they said because we're sitting back fighting what they're saying about us. Notice that when Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate said, what do you got to say for yourself? The Bible says he didn't say a mumbling word. Why? Because he knew who he was, and you couldn't convince him, and nor did he have to convince you that he wasn't. That too much? And so I'm saying that because
truth is truth all by
when we go back to this and read this, we began to recognize what he really was doing was teaching us through his actions how to fight spiritually, not carnally. Chapter 10, here we go. Let's read through it, and then we'll get to 6, and then we'll move forward from there. But I want to reread this because we have some people that are here this week that weren't here last week. So we're in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the weapons of our warfare. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Yes? Praise the Lord. All right? Mm-hmm. I'll read the first 5. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence, being physically here, am base among you. I've made myself low. I'm humbled. That's what he's talking about before you. But when I'm absent, I have to be bold. I got to tell you the truth about some things. But I beseech you that I may not be hold when I am present with you with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some of you, which think of us as though we were walking after the flesh. In other words, he was being judged as though he was a carnal person. His actions were being looked at as though they were carnal. And many of you have experienced that. You just may not have coupled it with the principles of God. Because there's sometimes you're doing the nicest and kindest thing you can do for somebody, and they'll turn around and slap you with some negative words, and you go, where did that come from? Didn't you see what I was really doing for you? I'm not over here, and this is what he talks about when he says I was base, I was low. Didn't you see that when I was taking care of the kids, I was doing that out of love, knowing you needed to go do other things, but what you came back with was, I didn't feed them on time. You didn't notice that I fed them. It was more important to you to look at the carnal part of it, and you wanted them fed at 5:00. I fed them at 5:30. That may not be the greatest example, but I think you get my point. There are many times that you are dealing with a spiritual war, and people are looking at you as though you are a carnal warrior. It says, but I think that I may not be bold when I'm present with confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to our flesh, that all of our actions are about pleasing ourselves rather than caring for you. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not warring with anybody after our flesh. You ain't heard me cuss you out. You haven't heard me call you a bunch of ridiculous names. I haven't said things to you, even though I probably thought them.
Some of it's a test.
Because, and he goes on to explain verse 4, because the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're made mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What I'm doing is going to heal you, even though you don't know you're on your way to being healed. I'm pulling out some things. I'm chasing out some images in your head. Everybody knows what an imagination is, right? An image, right? We talked about that before. An image. You can have an image of somebody that did something to you 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 20 years ago. And when you see them, the image comes back.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the hurt and the pain. That is God's way of saying you haven't let go. Doesn't mean that the person, when we forgive people, it doesn't mean that the person is a better person. Just because you stole from me and I forgave you for it, that don't make you a better person, but it does make me a bigger person.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Right? And so, mm-hmm. and so he says, cast out those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Watch what he says, verse 6 again. Who having a readiness, he's talking about God. God has a readiness to revenge all of that disobedience, everything that they did to you, when you fulfill your side of it. So the principle is, I have a contract with God. That contract says I'm supposed to act like Christ, even in a crisis. Mm-hmm. I am supposed to believe by faith, no matter what I see, is going to work out to the good. My contract requires it. My contract excludes me from attaching faith to negative circumstances.
So, Pastor, I got a question. Uh-huh. This Gonzalez, how you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm good. I'm blessed. Highly grateful to God. I'm loving them so much. Okay,
hallelujah.
So you just hit a spot right there.
Come on.
Go back where it says casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Mm-hmm. So right there, those two, or if that's one or two, I don't have my Bible, but I know this from reading.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in a crisis, okay, when you're in a crisis, and you know right from wrong, you know you got to be the better person.
Mm-hmm.
So when this person does something to you or say something to you where you really you want to just snap, you know, but then you just pull, you grab your spirit and you pull back and you take a deep breath and you breathe and you say, you know what, I'm not gonna deal with that. I'm gonna cast that down. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna stay focused.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that to me, because you know we live in a world where, you know, they make you want to go there for real.
Oh, and yes,
I'm a realist. I don't like phony stuff. So you know, slap me upside the head, God, and you know, if I ain't doing what you say, do so. Help me understand that part.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Sister Angie.
So to answer that, that's so funny that you bring that up, Sister Gonzalez, because when we were doing the women's group last night, when I was in a leadership meeting on Sunday, I had brought that up because they were talking about what do you do when people say stuff to you and they mean to you or say something about you or whatever else out of pocket. I have gotten to the place in my walk where I know that it's not them. It is this. I learned this from Pastor Moreau. It's the spirit within them. Satan will use people around you. And that's how we can learn to love people regardless of what they say or do, because it's not them. It's the spirit within them that is trying to get you to get out of character. Because like that, I mean, I call him dad, you guys. But like when Pastor sat up there and taught me, a lot of times Satan wants to get you out of character. To be like, see, you're not what you said you was. You're not who you said you was or whatever else. So when we understand that it is a demonic spirit within that person that is doing that to you to try to get you out of character, you can look past it and be like, okay. And then I also learned this from my dad. Everything on the face of this planet has to be fed. If you do not feed that spirit has to die.
All right. And Evangelist wanted to say something too. Go ahead.
Those are all good questions. Angela's answer was correct. If you starve that spirit, it has nothing to feed off of, so you turn away. I want to go back to when Jesus was tempted, because you got to remember, he was in the wilderness for 40 days. He was coming off of a fast. He was hungry. And if you really, really go back and study that, it says then Jesus was led by the Spirit large S spirit, okay, into the wilderness to be tempted. So he was actually going through a test. Sometimes those situations are practice tests for you to apply the word of God so that you become stronger and better at it. Because it's like when you go to the gym and work out. If you don't go work out, those abs are not going to appear. But you keep going to the gym and working out on your abs are going to get stronger. And so sometimes those are situations for you to do the word that you know so that you can become stronger in that word. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But if you go back and read Matthew's, I believe it is, 4. Hold on. I'll pull it up just so y'all can go back and read it if you want to. I believe it is Matthew's 4. If you go back where Jesus was tempted, he was led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. Okay, so he was walking in spirit and in truth when he went up and got tempted by Satan. So really, Satan, you can say Jesus was being tested and so was Satan. And it was a point to prove to Satan that he does not have power. So I saw a lot of different things when I read that scripture. So I would encourage people to go back and really, really dive deep into that scripture, because sometimes some of the stuff that we're experiencing is a test. And for myself,
and a lie
at the same time. But you have to be confronted with the test in order to pass the test. So a lot of times I always see these situations as a test, if that makes sense.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Everyone run over to, if yes, ma'am, I'll let you speak in a minute. Run over to Ephesians 6:12, and this will help to explain it, I believe. Okay, now who had something they wanted to say?
It was me, Apostle. I just wanted to add to it, but I can wait till you're done.
No, go ahead. You got a minute. That's what we're here for, life.
One of the things that I'm learning, like the answer, I'm not sure if you're speaking about when people are, you know, treating you bad or, and you want to respond one way. One of the things, like when I look at this chapter 10 and 4, mm-hmm. for the weapons mm-hmm. of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through mm-hmm. God, down the strongholds. I look at it like this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's a test, like Evangelist was saying, but it's how you respond. So mm-hmm. I think when I look at it, it's anger and physical force and control are like worldly ways to deal with things. So when you think mm-hmm. of God-centered tools like faith, truth, prayer, and humility, I think that is how you think about dealing with the situation. So not in a carnal way of anger, because that's what we want to do. It's the easiest thing to do, but responding. It's all in how you respond using the tools that we are equipped with through God.
Amen.
Walking in spirit. Awesome. So, Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
Put this in, and I hear all of my sisters talking. Put what I asked for in plain sight.
English. I'm getting ready to do it now.
Simple for me.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I get everything my sisters are saying on the mm-hmm. line, but mm-hmm. put it in practical point for me so I mm-hmm. can, you know, so I can keep moving, because otherwise I'll be stagnated and then it will, you know, it's not, I'm being real.
Yep.
I'm real. I don't like, I know, like I said a long time ago, I'm still Junior Jesus walking in the earth. But when Jesus walked in his father's house and they were selling all that stuff, he got there too. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So I need mm-hmm. you to plain put this on two pieces of bread
I'm getting ready.
Do that for me.
I'm prayerfully about to wrap it up and make it make some sense to you.
Let me
try to make some sense out of it. Here we go. Go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, please. And then I'll tell you what it means to me, because what it means to me may not be the same as what it means to you. But I can mm-hmm. tell you from the revelation I believe the Lord has given me with what I'm reading, okay. It has worked. Mm-hmm. It has subdued the enemy.
Yeah.
It has placed the enemy under my feet. He's not over my head anymore. He doesn't get to run roughshod with every circumstance. And everybody that comes and says something to me doesn't bother me. Everyone that talks about me just lets me know I'm alive. Everybody that sits back and has negative towards me doesn't even discourage, nor does it encourage. But I'm going to show you the opposite side of that coin. May I do so?
Yes, sir.
Everyone that comes and pats me on the back don't do nothing either. Everybody that comes and says, oh, you, whoo, I don't think I've met anybody anointed like you, does nothing for me. And the reason that it does nothing is because if Jesus ain't saying it, it ain't being said. It's being fed. Let me try it again. It ain't being said, it's being fed. Why is it being fed? Because every spirit, just like a human being, has to eat. And in order for it to eat, it has to have sustenance. So if you don't feed your dog for 3 weeks and he's sitting on the back porch, day, you know, 21 days of not eating, day 22, the dog will be gone. Why? He's got to eat somewhere. He's out of there, or he'll turn on you, right? So I'm saying that to say this. When people are attacking you, they're trying to feed something in you.
Or feed something.
Or they're trying to feed themselves through you. An example. I hope I'm making some sense. An example. If you have someone around you that argues all the time, and you dialogue and engage in that, you don't know what you're talking about, girl. No, that ain't the truth. So you're attaching faith to their lack, and that's feeding them. You don't see that because you just see the person. But now let me read this and listen to it good. He says this, Ephesians, the sixth chapter. I'm going to start at verse 11. Now I'm going to start at 10 because it's a finality statement. Listen to it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not yours. In the power of his might. Put on the whole arm of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We heard this a million times. But this is the part that's the important part, because you're not really wrestling against flesh and blood. But against principalities, people that are up under some kingdom authority that ain't God. It's an authority that's over them. And so that's why some people that have anger issues, those anger issues become their best friend. They don't even know how to talk to anybody without anger. They don't know how to talk to somebody without suspicion. They don't know how to talk to somebody because that's the principality they're under, which means it's a spiritual war taking place, and I can either feed it or starve it.
But you have to move in the spirit on it, though.
And so I starve it by staying in that spiritual realm that God has me in. Because when I got saved, when you got saved, when we got saved, he invited you into the kingdom, not into a principality.
That's right.
You're a kingdom citizen.
My God.
And as a kingdom citizen, it is my responsibility to use kingdom tools, which is what principles are. Kingdom tools. Why do you think that? I'm gonna go back to something you said, Sister Donna, because I get it. We're real people. We're human beings. We have feelings. We have emotions. But the point of having the Holy Ghost is to have something there that will override the emotion. That's why he said you can cast out the imagination, because there's something there to cast out. You just made me mad. There's something there to cast out. Oh, you deserve a word right now. I'm gonna give it to you. I'm gonna tell you what I really think. He just gave me the ability to cast out that imagination because it's working against my kingdom lifestyle. It is there to draw me into a principality's lifestyle. Does that make any sense? So watch what it says. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness that sits in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor that you might be able to withstand that evil day. And having done all, to stand, stand. We've heard all this before, but now let's make sense out of it. Having done all, to stand, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Nothing overpowers truth.
That's right.
Truth never obfuscates. Truth does not become, oh, I don't remember. Truth is always what it is. It doesn't alter, it doesn't change. It's a principle. So even if someone tells me something or says something to me, and I say to them, well, you know, you don't seem to be too very good at that yourself. I just spoke truth. But I don't have to argue about it because the truth is going to do what it does. Secondly, he says, so use the truth, but know how to use the truth. These are weapons, right? If I gave you a bazooka and you don't know how to shoot it, you're very likely to blow up your house. Let me try that again. If I give you a bazooka and you don't learn how to expertise in using that bazooka, you'll eventually blow up your house or kill something that you shouldn't have. If I gave you an atom bomb, you don't learn the properties of that, it's really easy to put your hand on the trigger and blow everybody up when you don't feel good. Because I don't really care. The whole world can end. God gave us some powerful weapons, and it's important for us to learn to use them. Therefore, he has to test them. Every weapon that they ever give to anybody in war, the first thing they do is train them how to use it. So many of the things that we're dealing with is our Father trying to train us how to use the weaponry. So let's go back to when some people get on your nerves, Sister Anna, or they said something.
If somebody needs to mute their phone, because I'm hearing all kinds of stuff.
I think I can mute it from here. I see where it's coming from. I think it's just they got someone in the background. So
Pastor, okay, uh-huh. Give me because I'm dry. I'm in my car. So
okay,
give
yes, ma'am.
Me Ephesians. What Ephesians? So I because I'm gonna do some.
You will dive in.
But you put the period where it needed to be. But
hallelujah.
I know this, but you know what? You can know something.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
You can do something, and then it'll backfire, and then you do it again, and then you go back, and then you do it again. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said we're human, because this way, you know, that's why I don't like phony people. People just, they say one thing and do another.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Donna say one thing and do another, but then she's convicted, you know, because the Holy Ghost ain't going to let you keep doing stuff.
Bingo.
So, bingo.
Yes, ma'am.
That part right there. So
yes, ma'am.
You put the period there. Now give me Ephesians, what you say?
Six.
Ephesians what?
That was Ephesians 6:10. Okay. You want to read 10 all the way through to 20, right?
Okay.
6:10-20. So what's the conclusion? He said, let me try to make sure we get it. He said, your feet have to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Okay.
And people read that and go, okay, that means I'm peaceful or that I should be peaceful. Let me tell you what he's actually saying or what I believe he said.
Okay.
What he said is, you have to always be prepared to make peace in a non-peaceful situation. Prepared to make it. Not necessarily that it's going to be made, but you have to be prepared to make it. Why? Because you're the weapon master, not them.
Okay.
Let me go back to the feeding things part.
I like that. Weapon master.
Every spirit has to be, I don't care who they are, what they are, it has to be fed or what's dwelling in them. You have to feed it with something. People that sit back and gossip, do you know that they're just trying to eat?
Okay.
Let me try it again.
Yeah, that's right.
They're just eating off of somebody. And the key to that is to get you to get engaged, because they know the minute that you engaged, they pulled you out of the realm of kingdom life into the realm of carnal life, into a new principality. Why? Because the minute they can get you engaged is the minute that you started sinning without knowing you were sinning. Because the Bible says, do not gossip, right? The minute that somebody can get you to moan and complain about your work, your job, your kids, your husband, your wife, your dog, your car, you have been pulled out of kingdom principle into principality. Because he says, do what you do without murmuring and complaining. If someone comes at us and they come at us with negative things they said, the minute that I respond or react in a negative way with them, I got pulled out and I discounted and discontinued God's ability to say vengeance is now mine because you took it yourself. Mm. You took it. Mm-hmm. You dealt with it. You didn't let me deal with it. And so I have to have a faith in what these words are saying, right? That's what we read, James. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I can't be holier than thou at 10 o'clock and calling you a bunch of names at 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's double-minded. That's two different standards of life. And so my responsibility is no matter how bad it hurts, I got to stay in the kingdom. No matter how my flesh desires to give you a piece of my mind, I need to stay in the kingdom. Because the minute I step out the kingdom, I'm outside the boundaries of the protective mechanism of the angelic host that he has assigned to my life. I don't know if you know you've got them, but you got them.
Yeah.
And the minute I step outside of that protection, then I have taken that protection away from me from God for that moment, which makes me vulnerable to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help to make any sense of this? Because the weapons...
Absolutely.
So we're in a spiritual war. Think of it in that terms and recognize that everybody that comes up saying whatever they said or doing whatever they do, it's because they don't have a boundary set, a moral boundary set inside of them that God has put them. The biggest part you have to be careful of are the folks who claim to know God and don't. That is the biggest weapon that Satan has. The worst of our troubles will come from folk who say they know the Lord and don't know him.
Right.
I don't mean folk who say they believe in him. I'm talking about folks that say they know him. It's a difference. You can tell when you talk to somebody and you talk scripture, you talk biblical belief, and they go, yeah, but you know what? I believe all that, but man, if somebody slapped me, I ain't turning another cheek. I'm getting my pistol.
No.
Well, you know about God, but you don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You can't. Because he said, turn the other cheek on that person so that I can enact the vengeance I want to. And I shared with people before, the first vengeance God is going to try to enact is their salvation. He's going to try to use what they did to you to bring salvation to them. How do I know that? Because the Bible says in the book of... Where is it? It's in Ephesians, I believe. And he said this. He said, know ye not that it is the goodness of God that leads other men to repentance. What is the goodness of God? His people. All the people that you've given to, all the people that you've helped, all the people that you've loved and hated you for the love you gave them. All of that is God's goodness being poured out on some folk. That's why years later, people come back and go, I'm so sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to do that to you. You know, I didn't know, girl. I shouldn't have. Oh, well, you know, that was your boyfriend. I don't know why, right? Because it is the goodness of God that leads them to repentance. And so it is imperative and important for us to know not only whose we are, but also know who you are.
Right.
You are the salt. Mm-hmm. Of the earth.
Yeah.
You're their hope. They ain't yours.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Can I add to that?
Uh-huh, absolutely. Please do.
Yeah, and that's actually crazy that you said that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's crazy that you said that because, you know, one of the big things, too, is like everybody on this planet is in an identity crisis because they don't know their identity. But, like, when you realize your identity in God... It's like a whole, you walk different, you talk different, you act different, you know, you live different because you know who you are, who you serve, who your father is. So like that identity you know, figuring out what your identity is and learning what your identity is like so important.
Can I say something too?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So wait, just Lucky,
hold on, let's make sure I let you was finished.
Did you say Pastor?
I said are you?
Yeah, I'm done. Yep.
Okay.
And just listening to this conversation, it just puts in my mind that if you love God, you will obey his commands. You know, we can't, I mean, to the point where if you can't obey his commands, you can't obey his commands unless you believe. Because I read in the word that we live our lives believing. That's how we live in the kingdom of God. We have to be believing for everything.
Say that again. We have to believe him for what?
So you can't fully obey God unless you believe. You have to believe because we have
for
to
everything.
Believe that for everything. That's how we live. I read that in the Bible. I think it was in 1st or 2nd Corinthians where it said we live by believing. That's how we live our lives in the body of Christ. We must believe.
Yeah, because your belief is your faith, and your faith can be attached to all the wrong things.
Yeah.
Right? Here's a question. So let's hypothetically say you're in church. And while you're in church, because you walked in with some faith, whether you know it or not, you walked in looking for something. Because there was a hunger, a need for the word of God, a need to get through some things, so forth and so on. But let's say while you're in church, 4 weeks later, somebody that's in the congregation comes up and says something and it burns and chaps your hide. What caused you to be upset?
I can tell you why I get upset when people say stuff to me. And I'm gonna. Can I be transparent? Can I be real?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I know that there's something within me that still needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be. I give it to God because I get to the point where somebody, even to this day, and I know I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and I know that I am born again, but I'm going through a process, and so. And they say something to me, and I'm getting to the point to where I'm learning to let it go. And I know that I can't do it. Only God can change me. And he's going to change me into who he wants me to be, regardless.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a very good, very, very good point. Let me give you another thought, if I may. Everybody good for just another way to look at something? Everybody good with that?
Go ahead.
All right. So let me ask you to think a little deeper inside of yourself, because the reason that that person can chap my hide and tick me off is because unknowingly I attached a faith to the person that they were a good person before I ever even knew who they were.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Because unknowingly and unwittingly, I attached faith to the person, believing they're a good person before I ever got to know the person.
Wow.
More relationships are messed up because we attach faith to the person before we ever get to know the person. And so you look good. You seem right. You said all the right things. You make me laugh. And 6 months later, you make me cry. I attached a belief to that person that they were right for me without ever knowing who the person was. Because I can only really know a person under three conditions. You ready for those three conditions? Here are the three conditions. They got so broke, they lost their job. They lost the most important person in their life, a mother, a father. They got sick. Three occasions where you'll see a real person, no matter how fake they've been. Oh, God. Three occasions, because you don't really get to know a person until pressure has been put on them.
Say that one more time.
You don't get to know what's in the person until pressure's been put on them. Let me give you another way to look at it. If I go get an apple and I put it inside of a blender that applies pressure to it, what am I going to get? Apple juice. If I go get a tomato and put it inside of a blender that puts pressure on it, what's going to come out of it?
Tomato juice.
If I go get a pear, a peach, or some grapes, I'm going to get whatever's inside that thing once the pressure has been put on that thing. And 99% of humanity can put on so many masks, you don't know what's in them until something that has sincere pressure goes on them and all of a sudden starts pushing out what's been living there forever.
Well, now.
Well,
praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
It becomes important for me as a believer, knowing what my heart is like. You know, here's a good way to look at your own heart. Here's what Jesus said to the disciples, the apostles. He says something very strange, and I hope you see it the way I saw it. He said to them this. He said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep amongst wolves." Mm. Then he said this. Don't take scrip, don't take purse, don't take anything with you. I got you. But then he says the next thing. So be wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. So let me connect those dots. I've seen the word serpent in the Bible several times. Every time I've seen it, Book of Revelations, that old serpent called the devil, Book of Genesis, and the serpent who beguiled Eve. Every time he spoke of a serpent, he spoke of satanic dominion. So that means he just said, when you go out in the world, you better be smarter than Satan and be a good person. You better be smarter than Satan. Well, how am I going to be smarter than Satan if I don't know him? If I don't see him and take the time to pay attention to something long enough to see if Satan is in it. Because anybody can come and put on, according to your Bible, it said that Satan became an angel of light, which meant he knew how to wear a mask.
Hello.
Well, he could put on a mask, but the funny thing about a mask is it's not truth, so it don't last. Is that making any sense to anybody?
Dad, now I remember when we were going through marriage counseling, and you asked me why I one of the things that made me want to marry my husband, and I remember I said, hey, it was one of the things was I saw potential in him, and you was like, wait a minute, potential is dangerous because you really don't know that person. Because everybody has potential, but Dad got all on me when we were doing the marriage counseling. Because he was like, "You don't do that. You don't be with somebody because you saw potential. You know, because what happens if they don't come up to that potential?
What happens if they don't live up to what your imagination was doing, casting out imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God? Because the knowledge of God would have said, the knowledge of God says, you can talk as good as you want to. Till I see you in those three main circumstances, I ain't believing nothing.
Right.
I hear you.
Let's go.
Right? Okay, I'll start off with 100% trust. But you go unearn it from there. And until I see you in a situation where some pressure has pressed out, you know, it's one thing for a person to be, you know, lose his job, be broke, be in a situation where he doesn't have money, rent's due, and that guy goes out and starts knocking on doors and saying, sir, can I sweep the floor so I can earn some money? I need to feed my kids. Yeah. It's another thing for that same person, for a different person under that same pressure, going out to say, you know, I got a pistol in the house. I could probably go and rob this place and rob that place and get away with it. And, you know, and I got God on my side, so I'm probably going to be all right. Because there are people like that. I was in a church for years with somebody that literally talked God, walked God, at least I thought he was. And then 3 years later, he came and told me, yeah, I got to go to court. For what? Well, I robbed a bank.
Oh, well, see.
You did what?
He had real issues.
What kind of issues?
Yeah, real issues.
Real issues. Praise the Lord. Because the key to our walk is to trust the word of God, not just know it. But it's, do I trust this word that it's going to perform the way it said it's going to perform? That's why I talked last week about principles and principalities, because there are three different realms that we're walking in. If I know the principles, the laws of God, the commandments of Jesus, like Angie said, and I understand those commandments, he said, do it. I don't like what he said, do, because it don't feel comfortable to me.
No, it don't. No, it don't.
It's not comfortable.
But what you say, the butt cuts off what? Everything that was behind it?
Say that again.
You say, when you said the butt, when, you know, you make a sentence.
Uh-huh.
But when
it just canceled everything before, right?
It canceled everything behind it.
Yes, ma'am.
So, but you know what, Dad? You know what, Dad? When I do what the Word of God says, sometimes I be feeling so cheap. I feel cheesy. Like, I just be like, oh, just let that. Okay, yep. You just obey God. Just keep obeying God. You know what I'm saying? And it does not feel good. It does not.
Don't feel good. No. That's why I wanted him to put the period there. Put the period there. You know. And then we can't be ignorant. Cause the devil out to do what he's doing what he has done from the beginning of time, and God then placed in the Word of God, in the Bible, what we need to do, but sometimes we just get off the square, and he just have to have somebody to slap you upside the head and put you, I mean, according to the word, you know, and put you back there.
Holy Ghost
slap. I appreciate you, Pastor, for putting me right back there. Because I know, when you know that you know that you know, what is you doing, Donald? You know, and I have to be real with myself. And then you all in the closet, God, I forgive me, God. You know what I'm saying? Ain't it? You wouldn't need me up in here if you just do what I say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really difficult, but it's worthwhile. Let's go back to something my wife brought up. Go to Matthew, the fourth chapter, please.
I'm trying to tell you, it's all there.
This is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm going to point you to one specific word, because we know this scripture. But how you observe the scripture, I wouldn't read. Whenever you read the Bible, if I can make a suggestion.
Yeah.
Whenever you read the Bible, you should not read the Bible.
Right.
You should have the Holy Ghost explain the Bible.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says he's the teacher, 14:26. He's the teacher. He'll bring back to your remembrance everything that I've said. And so it's one thing for me to read these words and go, what the heck were they talking about? It's another thing to say, Holy Ghost, you need to tell me what this means for my life.
Right.
Hey, Pastor.
I invite you into my reading. I invite you into my prayers. I invite you in, because he ain't going to come if you don't invite.
Hey, Pastor.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yeah, that's crazy you actually brought that up, too, because you kind of taught us that a while ago, and still to this day, like, every time I open my Bible, I say, Holy Spirit, please guide me through these scriptures, like, every time.
Yeah.
Because I just, like, when I don't do that, I feel like I'm, like, it feels like I'm
just
getting, like,
a book.
Reading. Yeah, just read the book. Yeah.
Just read the book.
Can I say this, too? I got to get this off my chest. I know without a shadow of a doubt that this ministry, your ministry, is
no God's ministry that we happen to serve in. Go ahead.
The Church of Christ is God's ministry.
Yes,
go ahead.
This ministry is so true, because the Bible goes forth in these Bible studies so powerfully. And don't think that for a minute, you know, I've been up underneath you for a long time. Don't think for a minute that I never listened to you. and everybody else has their memories. That all, the Holy Spirit brings the memory back to you while you're studying. And when I'm in a mm-hmm. situation, I can hear your teachings, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm in the right place. And this is how church and Bible study should be. It should mm-hmm. be changing you. You gotta, you can't have an encounter with the living God and not be changed.
Hallelujah.
That's
somebody was getting ready to speak. No? Let's go to Matthew 4 then. Right? And I'm gonna have you to pay attention to one word, because that the part of where I'll try to do this briefly. Part of where the trouble within the church body is in how it's been programmed to think. How we've been programmed to think, because just like anybody else, when I first walked through the door of a church, I expected the person that was preaching to be an expert. I had so much reverence for the word pastor that if that brother had said, look, you're going to need to jump off about three-story buildings 4 or 5 times, and the Lord's going to catch you on your way down, but you're going to have to do that in order to get this right, I possibly would have done it. And I'm saying that because after I'd left and didn't realize that God had been working on me, not from the day I went into the church, but from the day he began to call me, which was 10, 15 years before I ever entered that church.
Right, I remember.
He made me read the Bible 7 times back and forth, and I couldn't understand a word of it. All I saw was words. I read it. Oh, I'm going, what in the world did this say? Because and believe it or not, and I don't mind being transparent, I was in Texas locked up in a jail cell for 3 months. And for whatever reason, something hit me and said, don't read that book. Read that book.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. Well, I've heard people talk about the Bible. Maybe I'll learn what they're talking about for. Yeah. And so I started reading the book, and I read from Genesis to Revelation and didn't get not one revelation. I read from Genesis to, and I was mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try it again. I was mad about it because I'm reading something and I'm not comprehending it like I would if I read some spy novel. And I'm going, okay, well, what does that mean? So I went back and read it again. Didn't get anything out of it. Went back and read it again. Didn't get anything out of it. Right? I got 3 months of time. I did a lot of reading. Right? Got nothing out of it. I was about 23, 24 years old at the time. Then I turned around and got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and went back and read this book. And everything needs
to be born again. You must be born again. Yes.
Because it was the Holy Ghost that began to explain it and show me how I had lived in error. Let's go to Matthew 4. I just want to catch this. One specific word. Here we go. Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I want you to catch this word that comes right after he was. Listen to it good. He was afterward and hungry. My wife said he was very hungry, right? And she's right. But you have to catch the word afterward. It's not saying after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. It's saying he had a big problem. He was afterward. He was angry with the whole 40 days of fasting, and he was hungry. He was completely famished from 40 days of tests and trials, trying to please God. Oh, hallelujah.
I hear you, Holy Spirit.
He was famished from pleasing God. Y'all don't hear me.
And then he was led.
I hear you.
He was led by the Spirit. To go
himself to was afterward.
He himself, the flesh.
You put the word afterward up, you'll get what I'm saying. He was afterward and hungry. I caught it the other day. I said, wait a minute, why does it say afterward and hungry? Why didn't they just say he was hungry? That's what should have happened. No, he was afterward. He was struggling with the struggle that he had to give to God that 40. And that's where most of us are. We struggle with what we give to God. It's difficult to give God what he asked for. It ain't easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But everybody can't be anointed like you. You got to take your anointing, take your appointment, and you stand on the word of God and you look the devil in the eye and tell him you're the biggest liar I ever seen in my life. You can keep coming with that mess if you want to, but I know who I am. And I get afterward. I get tired, lonely, angry. I get hungry, angry, lonely, tired. It makes me want to H-A-L-T, halt. Makes me want to stop, throw in the towel. Makes me want to give up. Makes me wish I never went to church in the first place because I fell in love with something that I don't understand how it works. I don't even get it. I'm so upset with you. I don't know. I'm afterward with you right now. I don't know how to see you. I don't know when you go show up. I don't know when the sickness ends. I don't know when the financial poverty ends. I don't know when it's up afterward, but I'm trying to do what you asked me to. It's not unusual. Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
Woo. Ooh, we. You know that ain't none of you, Pastor. Because the Holy Ghost gonna slap me up in this car. And
you get out of
I have to pull over this down and you know, I gotta process all of that.
Yeah. We have been unfortunately programmed, like I said, so I had this really, really great reverence for the word reverend. Reverend. And I sat in a church and the Lord had to do this to me in order to correct me. And I thank God that he did it. I sat in a church for 5 years and I kept, and I had this affinity. What does this church need? What does the pastor need? What am I supposed to do to help him to build what he's trying to build? Because he was interestingly used by Satan. He was used interestingly. And here's how he was used. Because when I got saved in 1997, I said these words to the Lord because my life was so tragic and so filled with pain. I said, God, if you're real. See, I don't read this book. I don't understand it, but I read it. There was a couple things that I picked up out of it, but I read this book. And so now I need to know, is this book real? Is this real? Is it? Come on now. Really? Miracle signs and wonders. I haven't seen that one in my life. Come on now, God. So I asked, God, are you real? If you're real and you show up in my life, and you stop this downslide. And this hill that just seems to go deeper and deeper and turns from a hill to a ditch, I'll build you a church if I had to build it brick by brick. I just need to know if you're real. Phones started ringing that had been cut off. People started calling me and saying, hey, let me come get you and take you over here to do this and do that. And I'm kind of going, okay, I don't know how that happened. And I go in, and from that day forward, I never stopped praying.
Amen. And
3 months after that episode, first sign, first miracle, first wonder. 3 months after that, I went into a church and I got saved. 2 months after I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I ran around the church for about an hour and a half, sweating bullets. Couldn't stop praising him. Couldn't stop asking him to forgive me because for the first time in my life, I could see me. I could see how wretched I had been. I could see how much I retaliated on people. You did something to me, I did something to you. You do something to me, I'm going to do something to you. You talk about me, you make me feel bad, you need to feel bad. You lied on me, I'm going to lie on you. It was that retaliative spirit that was consistently operating on me that was being fed. And all while it was being fed, I was being bled.
Amen.
all that while I had to feed like that mine. Thing,
somewhat.
I was bleeding from it. And so I'm saying, glory. It was after that process. It was after, and the Holy Spirit had been speaking to me for a long period of time, even when I was in church, but I was too scared to let it happen. I was too scared of how people go. I could feel it in the worship. Ooh, that's, I don't know what that is. But yeah. I better get up and leave right now. Something's just bad. I don't know what that is. And then one day somebody said this to a man. I said, I was afraid I was going to lose my mind. He said, guess what? You lose your mind, you ain't lost nothing. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I lost mine too.
And then I stopped resisting the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
I stopped resisting him. And I said, have your way. Do whatever you want to do. And literally ran around and sweat bullets for an hour and a half. The music had stopped. The church had left. I was still running around. But we gotta go. We got lunch. We got a ball game on. We're getting out of here. And I'm still running around this church and couldn't stop myself.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Because praise the Holy the Spirit praise is real. And so we've been trained. So let me go back to the reverencing part. So I go into this church. I told God, remember what I said? I told him, God, if you come into my life, I'll build your church if I have to build it brick by brick. I was in Madison, got here in 1999 and 2004. I'm at a basketball game with one of the kids, and a man was sitting next to me, and he was a preacher, and we would talk about the Lord, because I'm like, I love him now, man. I mean, my life, whoo, glory, thank you, God. Look at what you've done. I got not only a good job, I've got position, I had power. I had all kinds of things that the Lord delivered into my life. I began to understand what he meant when he said, I'll make you the head and not the tail.
Ooh,
I was in charge.
Yeah.
I was in charge of a whole unit of people, a district, and all of them had master degrees and PhDs, and I'm in charge of them, teaching them how to make a living. And it hit me. I made you the head and not the tail, and I'm going, God, thank you. I get it now. This is
real. God is real.
And so this man says to me, you know, I'm getting ready to start a church, because we're talking church every time we go to the basketball game. I'm getting ready to start a church. You want to hear me? Well, you know, that was a trigger word for me, right? You said you're getting ready to start a church. Now, I promised this to the Lord back in, you know, and there's a scripture in the Bible, whether you know it or not, that says, keep your vow unto the Lord while you may. Keep your vow. That's why you should never say, going back to something you said, Sister Donna, you should never say anything and not do it.
Right.
Because it's a vow coming out of your mouth. It ain't you speaking. It's the Holy Ghost living in you. And when I say I will, I better. If I say I can, I should.
Yeah.
And if I say no, it means no.
No. Yeah.
My yay is yay, my nay is nay. And so when I heard this, I'm going, wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, God, finally. Do you know that man said that? I went home and cried. I went home and cried because I said, finally, maybe that is the point and the trigger point. Maybe now I can keep my word to you because you've been so good to me. And I mean, my life was so completely transitioned and transformed. And I don't, all of the problems are gone out of my life. I'm slaying demons in places, and ooh, glory, God, thank you. And then somebody says, I'm getting ready to start a church. You want to help me? And I went, said, I'm on my way, brother. Wait, when, where, what time? I'll be there. And I went and got involved, and he was a reverend. And I went there with this reverential thought about reverend. And I went there, and I helped, and I supported. And I'd never seen anybody be so negative in my life. I've never seen anybody that saw the people of God as sheep to fleece.
The preacher.
The preacher. And I'm going, And I'm going back to my Bible because I'm thinking I got to have something wrong. Something I'm not understanding. I thought I had this. I thought I was understanding you, God. And I went back and I'm looking for where are those preachers at that because that's not how I see pastoring going. Where's that at? And I couldn't find it. And I watched for 4 years. And I'm going, God, what is this? And it was interesting that at the end of that four-year period, somebody came to me and said, you know, they were calling me Brother Monroe at the time. Brother Monroe, hey, you know, I'm a pastor over here at this church, and I, you know, we do services at this time. And I'm wondering if you might come over and do Bible studies because they had seen me do messages before. They'd seen me do some things. And I wonder if you come and do a message. And I said, or come over and teach Bible studies. What they asked, I'd be glad to. And so I came over and started doing a Bible study. The preacher I was under said, you ain't got no business doing that. You're supposed to be at your, you don't eat at nobody else's table. You know, you ain't got no business. You're supposed to be a member at this church, man. What you doing over at somebody else's church? I'm over here serving the Lord. That ain't how you serve God. You serve God by being your pastor. You serve God by being what your pastor. When I need you to be here on Sunday morning to do this, but they do service at Sunday night. It ain't got nothing to do with Sunday morning. I don't get it. Let me go look in my Bible again. Maybe I'm missing something. Let me go check that again. And I don't see none of this in the Bible. And then finally, after about a year, the service began to grow. The pastor of that church came to the associate pastor who had asked me to do the Bible study and said, that man either needs to join our church because you got people coming to this ministry. They're getting taught Bible study. And now we got people from our ministry asking to go to the Bible study. And he ain't a member of this church. That don't look good. Tell him to bring his W-2. I'm telling you the truth. Bring his W-2. Show us how much money he makes. He's got to give 10% of that. And then after 2 years, we're going to ordain him.
Wow.
Fake phony people. That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
After 2 years, he'll become ordained and he'll be a member up under Lighthouse Church. He'll be a pastor under Lighthouse Church, under our denomination. And when they said, unfortunately, I had read my Bible real well because I read it a lot. And fortunately, I knew that Jesus had came and fulfilled the law and the contract of tithing was over.
Yep.
And I told them that. I said, sir, let me show you this in the Bible. You let me know what I'm not getting. Here's Malachi 3. It says that. Here's Jesus. I said, 10% of something is a contract. You pay 10% interest on a loan. It's a contract. You go get you a house. You pay a mortgage. That's a contract. And anything that's a contract is a lawful document. And I said, so how in the world, when Paul, if you look in the book of Acts, said, let a man give according to what's purpose in his heart. When he said some people brought a whole house and sold it and took care of the people that didn't have anything. And some people sold this and sold that to take care of the people within side of the body of Christ. How is that part of the new covenant? And he said, "Well, we don't abide by that. We follow the tithing law.
Oh my goodness!
Shall a man rob God, and you'll be robbing God if you do that. Well, take into consideration during that period of time, I had just bought my first house. I had a fairly good job, and in the transition of being up under one pastor and being at this church doing the Bible study, my job." I opened up a business to help my neighbor who was an engineer. He was a Microsoft engineer, but he had just lost his job. And I worked at a company that was in marketing. And so I decided, you know, I had a lot of clients who wanted websites. So I went to that person and said, man, do you know how to do websites? He said, yeah, I do. He said, that's easy. That's child's play for me. And he didn't have any money coming in. He had a family and I loved him. We loved him. He's just a really, really beautiful human being. And he loved the Lord. And so I say, well, I can get websites for sale. You build them. You keep the money. I'll take a small commission. And so we did. Started a company just for him. Are you listening? I'm going to be through with this in a minute, but you really should hear it. Started a company just for him, just so he could pay his bills. Why? Because of what my Bible says. Right? And so we started the company, and 7 months later, The company I was working for began to start to downsizing because they were closing because nobody wanted to use the Yellow Pages anymore because Google was in play. And so I've got all these customers that I've known for years, and I told them, you know, I'm getting ready to leave the company, and we end up shutting down, or they ended up actually letting me go. Hey, you know what? Yeah, okay. And I went home. And I said to my wife, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she started applauding and clapping evangelists. She started applauding and clapping and jumping and shouting. And I'm going, my carnal side, Donna, what is wrong with her? Does she not get the gravity and the brevity of what I just said? Hey, honey, wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. You didn't hear me. I don't think you heard me well. I said, I don't have the job anymore. And I better go start thinking about getting some unemployment. And she's still clapping and praising. And I'm going, what is wrong with you? She said, you can finally step into the vision and do something with the business that you have. You did it for them, but it was really meant for you. That business is now 15 years old. The person that I started the business for got hired as the IT person for the University of Tampa. He left. He had to go. I then had to go and take total control of the business, and we've been growing ever since.
Because he made you the head, not the tail.
Hallelujah.
The lender, not the borrower. Above and not beneath.
A head and not a... And so, and I'm saying this not to toot a horn. I'm saying this because we have to believe the whole word.
The whole word.
Work to the good, to them that love the Lord and to them that are called. He didn't say some of it was going to work. He didn't say a few things will work for you.
He said
everything. Sickness can actually work to your good. Financial being broke can work to your good because you can get mad enough from being broke to go out there and start a business. And the next thing you know, that business is prospering and it's working to your good. And you thought losing the job was the problem. No, losing the job wasn't the problem. Taking the test and moving forward is the real
kingdom.
Want to move. I'm still under the program of thinking I need a boss to tell me what to do. When I'm in the kingdom, I got one boss. His name is Jesus. And if I'm listening, he's already telling me, move on from that. Get away from this thing. Move on from that thing. That thing ain't doing nothing for you. Move on. I got you. Don't take purse. Don't take script. Don't take nothing with you. I got you when you get there. All you need do is go out and be a sheep amongst wolves and know how to be smarter than the serpent and gentle as a dove.
Yep. Just like Christ did, but in and out of
I hope and pray that made some sense to somebody.
That makes
because
sense
you are
to me.
Bigger than you know. Way thanks bigger. But you gotta trust him.
Gotta trust him.
Can't attach my faith to anything that is not of him until I know it's him. Then I attach something to it. Then I put my feelings into it. Do you know, especially for the powerful women of God? And I say powerful women of God. I'm not excluding the men, but I am being specific to my sisters in Christ. You know how powerful you are? That in the book of Genesis, God said, I will give you enmity against the enemy. You will be able to bruise his head. Do you know how powerful that is for God to have that gift living inside of you? And here's the problem. Part of enmity is also nurturing. And so what happens is we nurture what we ought to be at war with. And we're at war with what we ought to be nurturing.
What's that scripture of that passage?
Yeah, that right there. That'll preach right there. So that'll preach right there.
Yes, ma'am. because your nurturing capability and gifting will make you believe that you can actually win some man over with love. Oh, my love, he gonna change for me. Because he's gonna see what good love can do for him. That's not what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to be in enmity at war with the enemy that's on the man and praying hard, praying unceasingly until the enemy either disappears or the man disappears. Hallelujah. Until God sends you the right man.
Amen.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah. It makes a whole lot of sense.
You all are powerful, powerful entities on this planet. You really are. You're powerful. But you have to have faith in you and attach your faith to nothing else but the things that God sent to you. Do not attach your feelings to anything until you have seen through the thing.
That's right. Yeah, that's good. That's good, my job. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Men too. But I'm saying, do not attach. Do not do that because that's giving your faith to something without knowing you're doing it because we just think it's my feelings. No, it's your faith. Can't nobody hurt you that don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
Your feelings are out of your flesh. Somebody over in China says something bad about you, you'd be like, what? But everybody that you've attached faith to, they can just look at you wrong. And you're ready to go berserk on them because you attach something and you don't know that you're feeding something. Unfeed it. Take your power back. As Sister Hawanda would always say, take your power back. Don't give your power to anything other than Christ. You're a kingdom citizen. Unteach yourself from religion. Reteach yourself into relationship. Unteach yourself from religion. Reteach yourself into relationship. Unteach the religion and teach yourself into the relationship through the Holy Ghost because he'll tell you what every word in this Bible means.
You must be born again in order to enter the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
I think that I'm done.
I'm going to open this up for comments and thoughts. I'll start with Sister Ruby. Comments, thoughts?
I don't have any. Sorry, that's a crying baby in the background, but I don't have any questions or comments at this time.
Okay. Yeah, he's looking for mama's attention. Somebody is. Brother Lati, comments, thoughts? Closing statement?
Oh, yeah, just really, understanding, the whole spiritual warfare aspect and understanding being a kingdom citizen and understanding, that it's the spirits that are lingering, over these people and that's in them. And, like how you said, I put in my notes right here. He said, when people attack you, they're trying to feed what's in them and or trying to feed what may be lingering in you. And that right there, really spoke to me, instead of, reacting on what someone says to you and things like that, it's you got to really say, so if it's giving you that heightened feeling on the inside and you want to retaliate, that's something in you that's also wrong too, because you should look past that. You shouldn't let that affect you. Because that's not them and has nothing to do with you. And you just got to to keep moving forward because, like you said, they're feeding themselves, what's ever in them. And then when it excites you and gets you up in that rage mode, that thing inside of you is also trying to be fed. So you need to shut what's inside of you down.
Hallelujah. And keep moving forward.
Yeah.
That's my spiritual grandson. Oh, come on, man. Talk to me.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
I'm so proud of you, my son.
Hallelujah. Let's move on, Brother Dewan.
I just said everything about the prayer line every Wednesday. I'm just listening in. So, I know you don't comment like that, but it's always good. Everybody on the line is always good.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Dewan.
Amen.
I'm a faithful Bible study person. Dewan is here every Wednesday without fail.
Amen.
I don't know if you can speak or not, but the floor is open to you.
It's a little noisy in here, but I I just enjoyed everybody, and look, I was just shouting in the store. I'm out of breath. So. I'm just grateful for everybody that's showing up that were hasn't been online in a minute. So I love when everybody come back together to fellowship, because we miss y'all and y'all.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, that's an anointed sister herself. I really wish I could get our women to truly know who you are and to be bold in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Be bold, be strong.
Yes, you were
made, you were made to wound the devil. Sister Angie?
I receive.
I just want to say this is just confirmation, because I went forth and I prayed yesterday, because I had led Bible study at the church that I go to, because I'm over the women's group, and we had a good conversation about us women and, you know, making time for God each day, you know, and we got into the discussion of the Bible, and mm-hmm. I got really bold, and I didn't care about if people liked it or not. I came from the Word of God. We talked about the Bible, and I said, you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. That's how you learn your Bible, and that's how you read your Bible. Because without the Holy Spirit, you're going to look at it as letters. You're going to look at it as some poems. You're going to look at it like, okay, what's this? And so it has no effect on you. That's why, you know, we must be born again. And then when I come into Bible study, that's just confirmation. And that's why I started crying, because God is letting me know, you know what I'm saying? Keep coming. Mm-hmm. Keep coming. You're coming down. Let's go. So I just thank praise God for this Bible study, because iron sharpens iron. And I've learned a lot through your ministry, and I can praise God for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we praise God. Thank you. And just keep doing what you're doing, because the word also, the word is also seed.
Yes.
And sometimes it takes seed time before it can grow, right?
Yes.
You'll find that in 2 Corinthians, where Paul said, Apollos may plant, Paul may water, but only God can give the increase. And a lot of times we don't see people showing up with certain attributes or change. It's because God hasn't given them the increase, but the planter planted well, the waterer planted well. But there's a time, and God knows when their heart is ready, because a lot of folks are really just hard-hearted, and if they had filled with the Holy Ghost, they'd be some hard-hearted, faith-filled, Holy Ghost-filled folk who cause more harm than good.
Mm-hmm. That's true, Pastor.
Sister Donna?
Yes.
Closing thoughts?
I just want to let you know that I Sister Angela has, you know, grafted me into this Bible class tonight. And I am grateful to you for expounding on the Word of God as you do. It has, sometimes you know what to do, but you don't do it. You know what I'm saying? I know what to do. I mean, and I'm glad you brought up relationship, because I'm not a religious person. I don't believe in religion. I believe in a relationship. So just like you have a relationship with your husband or with your children, you gotta have a relationship with God. And you have to know what his word says. You got the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so all that you have said tonight have truly, it just, I went from high school to college tonight. From what you preach. I mean, I know what the words say. I know how to get in it. But you said some things that make me, I'm finna dive in. I'm finna go to the deep.
I mean, I've been to the deep. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. you go to the deep, and then here you come back surface looking for stuff. Stay in the deep, mm-hmm. and you won't get in trouble. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna dive into the deep. You know, and stay
no
there.
No more snorkeling, huh?
No more snorkeling, because I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know who I believe, because the Bible says believe. You can't receive it if you don't believe it. I believe mm. it wholeheartedly. But sometimes you get off. Keep it real. You get off.
You can get off
ain't nobody, yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I don't like phony people. Sometimes you get off and God has to slap you upside your head. Well, he did that to me tonight through you.
Mm.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I'm just grateful that you teach the way you teach. I love your teaching. I really do.
Thank you, Sister Donna. I think you said it best. We're just keeping it real.
Yeah.
Right? I say that because we have to know that the word of God, there's no sense in me writing a book if nobody reads it, and there's no sense right. in people reading it if they're not going to understand it.
Right.
And so when God wrote the word, the only thing he concealed was he concealed away things that the enemy can't receive it, but his people mm-hmm. are meant to receive it. And that's why when we read, we should read in the Holy Ghost. Father, you said at John 14:26, and you should remind him, you said that you bring back to our remembrance everything. I need you to explain
everything,
this to me.
Everything.
I need to understand. I got to get this. Because
me too.
It's supposed to be able to be applied yeah. to the life that we're in so that we can have that life that we can say that, like Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. Well, if it's not abundant life, then somebody's lying.
Okay, that part.
You know, I'm not doing right. something, or you lying.
Right, and he's not a man that he should lie.
Not a man that he should lie. And I'm telling you, I've literally had that conversation with him, and I can tell you, and I'm honest, I'm very transparent. I read yeah. this book sometimes, and I ask God, I said, did anybody, was there somebody so cruel that they wrote this to make it up?
No, they can't.
I'll ask him, because I yeah. But he always reveals no, because then when you see this next thing happen, you know that was me. And, right. and but it's all right to ask that kind of question. Are they lying to us? Is this like the Jewish people put this together to make themselves look like they were something special so nobody would touch
okay.
them? You know, all those things come to your mind because they're real good questions to ask yourself. Did they?
Yeah.
Right? And the only way, as yeah. we close, the only way I'm going to know that it's real is if my Father reveals.
Yep.
So I need you to show it to me. Don't tell
right.
me. I don't. You got to show me.
Right.
Because then it's a totally. Do you know that our witness becomes totally different when God is showing you so much about the word and life and him? Your witness is totally different. You don't say God can heal you. You're going to be healed. It's not by his stripes. It's come on over here and let's lay hands and pray.
There you go.
It's different. But in order to do that, he has to reveal. He wants to reveal it to you. He doesn't want this book to be a secret from his children.
No.
It doesn't make sense. That's like you leaving. That's like you leaving an inheritance. It's because you're getting ready to leave, and you left them an inheritance, but you put it in a bank account, and nobody knows what the account is.
Right.
They the richest poor people you know.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. So we have to know that. That's what our faith is supposed to declare and decree. No. You gave me something for me to be able to do something with. So I'm not just reading this to hear some words and know how to say them. I'm reading this. I need to see you manifest this. I need the manifestation of it. So I know that when I'm talking to people, I'm not lying to them.
Right.
I'm not just saying something that I read. I could read Cat in the Hat to them if that's the case.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Right,
yeah, praise God.
That's keeping
praise
it real, right?
Mm-hmm.
I So as we get ready to go, I'm going to ask Sister Donna, since you had the we're going to ask you to close us out in prayer, please.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God.
Thank you, Master.
Lord, I thank you for the man of God that has opened up your word simplicity-wise, God. I thank you, God, that you have given him the wherewithal, the wisdom and the guidance and the knowledge on how to lead your people in this day. Hallelujah. And in this hour. God, I thank you for this day. For this was the day that you made, and we truly are rejoicing and glad in it, Father. Mm. We thank you because you allowed us to lay down last night with sweet sleep and to rise early this morning, God, with yes, all Lord. The activities of our limbs, within our right minds, God. It's in you that we live and we move and we have our being. Apart yes, Lord. From you, God, we are nothing. And without you, we can do nothing. Help us to walk worthy wherewith we have been called in you, God. Help us to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. Not our will, God, but let your will be done. And I know sometimes we need spankings, God. And we thank you for spanking us, God, and bringing us back to where we should be. I thank you, God, that you are the God of a second chance, God.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. I thank you today, Father, for the blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed on Calvary, that we might have this right in your land, God. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just give you glory and honor. We thank you. I thank you for the brothers and the sisters that was on the line today, God. Opening up your word, God, because that's what we need. We need your word. We need to know what to do in these last and evil days, for we're living in the last days, God, where everybody want to do what they want to do. But God, let our light so shine before men and women that we can glorify you, God, in the earth realm today.
Yes,
Father,
God.
I thank you. I love you, God. I love the people that are on the line. I love your people all over the world, God. Those that are sinners and those that are not sinners, that are saints, God. Help us to help them. And help us, God, to be what you have called us to be in these last and evil days. We bless you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We give you praise and honor, God. You are Jehovah, God. You are I am that I am. You are the lily of the, we are the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer, the God that healed us from everything, for healing our bodies, healing our minds, healing our souls, God. You are El Elyon, the Most High God. We truly bless you. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify you. There's none like you nowhere. You are Elohim. You are I am I that I am. All that we need you to be, God. God, we thank you for it. We give you glory. We give you praise, God. You're worthy, God. You're awesome, God. We magnify you, God. Oh, God, you're so good, God. You're better to us. We've been to ourselves, God. Forgive us, God, for even things that we know to do and don't do. Forgive us, God. We bless your name. We love you so much, God. Without you, we're nothing, God. Help us to walk worthy where we've been calling you. And we bless your name. Thank you for the man of God that brings it in like you give it to him, God.
Thank you,
children, God.
Hallelujah.
We don't
Hallelujah.
Know what to do unless you allow it to happen, God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, we love you so much. Hallelujah. I love you so much, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My soul say yes to your way.
Hallelujah.
Yes to your will, God. Help me to walk in you and talk in you, God. No matter what Hallelujah. I think, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking over. Glory to your name. Bless your holy name, God.
You're so worthy. Hallelujah. I love you so much. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and you are my redeemer.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Say amen. Somebody.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory
hallelujah.
To God.
I'll give God some glory. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank everyone for being here. And we have the holiday seasons coming up.
Yes.
I hope and pray that everyone is blessed through it, not stressed by it. It's not about money. It's about love.
Hallelujah.
We may know or not know this. The 25th, really probably the day that Jesus was born on. I don't think that has anything to do with it. But what day is not a good day to celebrate his birth? Don't get caught up in the commercialism.
No.
Get caught up in the realism
of
a born Savior who's with us, loves us, and cares for us.
Yes.
Carry that spirit every day, and every day becomes a holiday.
Yes.
He's more than enough. So I hope and pray that everyone enjoys. Oh, by the way, for those that are close enough, on this coming Sunday, we have children's toys that we will be passing out. We were very blessed that the Jewish Friends of the African American Community got together and selected New Covenant Church of Christ to be a church that they sent some stuff through so that we could put it out into the community, because they've seen the work that the Lord has us doing, and they're blessed by it. So we have, I don't know how many toys, but we've got quite a few. So if you have some kids that you want to bring them so that they can be blessed, and we can make sure we've got boys and girls toys. So that'll be done on Sunday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Love you all, and hope and pray to see some of you soon.
Love you all.
Love you all.
Love
everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Love everybody.
Good night.
Dad, don't forget to call me tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow. Gotcha. I heard you.
Good night.
All right.